This summer, my wife and I took my parents, our son, and our granddaughter on a trip to Montana. Coming from South Florida, it was such a change of pace. We spent our days exploring Glacier National Park, taking in the incredible mountain views, spotting wildlife, and doing some easy hikes to waterfalls and scenic overlooks. It was amazing being surrounded by mountains and cooler weather, something we just don't get at home. We also checked out some local restaurants, tried a few Montana favorites like Huckleberry desserts, and really enjoyed slowing down and spending quality time together. But while we were off exploring somewhere new, our home was just sitting empty. That's when I realized, while we're away, we could list our space on Airbnb. It feels like a smart and practical way to bring in some extra cash, especially when there is a high demand in our area for things like concerts, games, or festivals. It turns an empty house into an easy opportunity while you enjoy your own time off, and can even help offset some of the cost of your next trip. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You know, as I've gotten older and gotten married and had kids, I've started to realize what's really important in life. And I think we all know what that is. And I want to add that life insurance is also very important. I remember the conversations I had with my wife where we said, we need life insurance. We need to protect our future. So we got life insurance and we just feel more secure now. It's one less thing to worry about. Now, let me tell you about Ethos. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions. You can get up to $3 million in coverage, and some policies are as low as $30 a month. Take 10 minutes to get covered today with life insurance through Ethos. Get your free quote at ethos.com/FFT. That's ethos.com/FFT. Application times may vary. Rates may vary.
8 hidden gems for your fantasy football draft right now on FFT Express. All right, Dave Richards here. We're talking about Diamond, Sapphire, Ruby, Emerald, Amber, Topaz.
Hopefully no cubic zirconium.
Yeah, hopefully not.
Well, this is how I win. Isn't that the line from Uncut Gems?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't think you do.
I love that movie, but not a movie I'm ever going to watch again. But who are some gems that we need to know about? Some hidden.
So when you gave me this assignment, I thought, let's just talk about players that are going to be drafted maybe in 12 team leagues. These are late round picks, round 11 plus, not high ADPs. Let's start with Jahmyr Gibbs. No, I'm kidding. Let's start a quarterback with Malik Willis, who obviously has that rushing upside that we love to have on our fantasy quarterbacks, but I think he can throw a little bit too. And this Dolphins offense, yeah, they've got Bupkis at wide receiver. Although I'm going to mention a wide receiver that I think could be pretty decent. They do have a tight end in Greg Dulcich, who's interesting. But I think Malik Willis can find ways to put up fantasy points. I don't hate the idea of spending a very late draft pick on him and just seeing how the first 2 or 3 weeks of the season goes. If it stinks and he stinks and the Dolphins stinks, yeah, you're cutting him and you're finding somebody else. But if he's good, then we're talking about somebody who could be a cheat code to help you win in fantasy.
Next.
Running backs, 3 of them. Jonah Coleman, Denver. Ray Davis, Buffalo. Mike Washington Jr. with Las Vegas. And that last one, Washington, Heath actually got me intrigued on him because he said himself, we don't know for sure if Ashton Jeanty is going to handle this massive workload that we're expecting. This is the guy behind him. He's young. I was really impressed with his profile. And what did Clint Kubiak do last year in Seattle? He had 2 good running backs. They split. I hope that's not the case for Jeanty, but I think having Mike Washington, again, somebody that you're going to draft and see how the first 3 weeks go, or a guy you absolutely have to draft if you spend a top 15 pick on Ashton Jeanty. Ray Davis, much more of a handcuff for James Cook. James Cook had almost 400 touches last year. It's a career high. We've done all this research about what happens to running backs after 400 plus touches. It might as well apply to a running back who had 385 touches last year. And that's James Cook. So a little bit worried about a James Cook regression / breakdown, and that would open the door for Ray Davis. But Jonah Coleman's the one who could have a mild role in Denver to begin the year. he's going to see his role expand if/when J.K. Dobbins misses time. R.J. Harvey looks locked in as a passing downs back, a third down back for Denver, which means Jonah Coleman could work in some other situations that could be quite groovy for the Broncos. Love the idea of drafting him and then giving him more than 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks. Let's just see what happens in Denver's backfield. Maybe Jonah Coleman can step up. It is also contingent, by the way, on Taysom Hill. If Taysom Hill ends up signing in Denver, that's bad for all the running backs because we know what Taysom Hill is good at near the goal line, and that doesn't help any of Dobbins, Harvey, Coleman.
I think you may have just convinced me to take Jonathan Taylor over James Cook.
Oh, yeah, I've been there for all offseason.
Yeah, but you never used the argument that you just made without even realizing you made it. If both those guys had big, heavy workloads last year, sure. Taylor's had multiple years doing it. Now, he's also had injuries. Cook really hasn't. But Taylor's 30 pounds heavier than James Cook, maybe more. Is he not more suited for that kind of workload? You know, maybe
he is. And he's got the history to suggest that he can outperform Cook. Now, we're talking about two running backs that could get huge fantasy production and have. Last year, James Cook was almost at 19 PPR points per game. Even with a bad stretch for Jonathan Taylor last year, he averaged 21.3, and that includes 24.8 PPR points per game in 12 full games with Daniel Jones. Hubba, hubba.
Okay. A little break and some more uncut gems for you after this.
Support for today's show comes from Square, the platform behind so many of the local businesses we all love. Whenever I go to my favorite sports bar, I'm enjoying the energy, I'm enjoying the game, and it moves lightning fast because I use Square. I just tap my phone, grab my wings, and even earn loyalty points without missing a single play. It's just so seamlessly put together. But Square is way more than just a slick register. It's an all-in-one system that lets business owners take payments, manage inventory, handle staff payroll, and track sales from one easy dashboard. Whether you run a bustling sports bar, a bike shop, or a boutique, Square simplifies the daily grind without requiring an IT team or hidden fees. Plus, sellers using Square checking save an average of 44 hours a month thanks to instant payouts. If you're starting a business or running one that deserves better tools, Square helps you sell, manage, and grow without slowing down. Right now, you can get up to $200 off Square hardware at square.com/go/FFT. That's SQUARE.com/GO/FFT. Run your business smarter with Square. Get started today.
All right. We are back with Dave Richard, gemming it up.
A late round tight end. And this guy's behind the Chigokonkwo, Greg Dulcich group of tight ends. But I think Terrence Ferguson, that's how you say his name. I think he's going to end up being okay for LA and maybe even the number three target getter for a Rams offense that should throw a decent amount. I know they love him. I know that he's talented, and I think he's going to be the one that's the best of all their tight ends. So no Parkinson, no Tyler Higbee, Terrence Ferguson, a tight end to grab and just see what happens those first few weeks of the season. I could see fantasy managers flaking out on him before anybody else that I've named so far on the list, but he's a late round tight end that I think does have some appeal.
Yeah. The Rams played three tight end sets, 30.5% of the time.
Right. And this is not a blocker. This is a pass catcher. Yeah.
Number two on that list was the Steelers at 13.2%.
And that was an Arthur Smith stat.
Yeah. But that's 2.5 times more than the next most three tight end sets for the Rams. Which is, you know, it's a little frustrating because I'm going to start Terrence Ferguson this week, and then it's Colby Parkinson who catches the touchdown.
Yeah, hopefully that's not what happens. Hopefully it's Ferguson who's clearly the top receiving tight end for LA. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay, are we on to wide receivers?
Three names at wide receiver, one rookie, one third-year player, and one guy who's been around a long time. The rookie is Skylar Bell in Buffalo. Good training camp reports. I know Khalil Shakir's there, and obviously DJ Moore's there. I wonder if there's a pathway for Skylar Bell to be the number two target getter in Buffalo. So I'm kind of intrigued by him. Malik Washington in Miami, I think there's a chance he ends up leading the Dolphins in targets and catches and maybe even yards. He's very, very shifty. He's small, but he's going to work in the short area along with some occasional deep shots, and he will play in two receiver sets. I believe he will. I believe he will play in two receiver sets for Miami. When I went to their mini camp, he impressed me there, as did Greg Dulcich. And if I like Malik Willis, then somebody's got to step up from this receiving core. This is a very, very late round pick we're talking about, but maybe one who can average 10 PPR points per game. That's not a bad bench wide receiver, emergency flex, bye week guy. And obviously, if he's got speed, that means he's got upside for some big weeks. And speaking of speed, Rashid Shaheed is going to fill a larger role, according to reports, out of Seattle. And this is an offense that I think could end up throwing a little bit more than they did last year. We know about their running back changes and all the question marks that they have at that position. I think Darnold's got to put the ball in the air a little bit more, and I think defenses are going to be a little bit more ready for Jaxon Smith-Njigba outside of 12-plus air yards downfield. I think inside they're just going to let JSN catch whatever he catches and then try and tackle him at that point. So Shaheed can be a field stretcher but also be used in the short area as well. I don't see defenses double covering him. I think this is the year where we see Rashid Shaheed take a step forward and be a decent wide receiver three for fantasy. But you don't have to draft him as a wide receiver three. You can draft him as your wide receiver five because not everybody has him. We may hear Shaheed's name a few more times between now and week one of the NFL season on FFT shows.
What do you think about this nickname? Raspeed Shaspeed.
I think it's awesome. I think you should use it on our main show when the whole audience is there. I think you should reach out to his representatives and see if they're interested in joining you on the trademark. Mm-hmm. And if not, trademark it yourself. And then you'll probably be like a millionaire five times over. Respeed, great job.
Just speed. Yeah, just remember that. There are some other gems that I would nominate. Denzel Boston, it go 169th overall. Jalen McMillan right after him. And I like, you know, the idea of Jalen Naylor as wide receiver 63. So I wouldn't mind being in a deep league this year.
What's that ADP on Naylor?
173 or something.
Okay. So I would obviously much rather have him, frankly, much rather have him than both Bell and Washington. That's a good pull. I like Naylor too.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, I don't think I'm going to be drafting these guys in most 12 team leagues, but if I'm playing in a deeper league, there's definitely a lot of names that I'd like to have, not just settle for, but would like to see where it goes.
I think one of the most important things a drafter can do is have a list of players that they like for the late rounds, and don't just rely on rankings. Go through them and do a little bit of digging yourself. And the ones that stand out, have a list of, even if it's just like five names, but to have that list of late round sleepers, so you're not sitting there in your draft going, I don't know who I want. Don't be that guy. Be the guy that's confident knowing who they want to take late. Bring your list with you to draft.
Love it. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Fantasy Football Today. And if you're, never mind, I was going to promote something, but you don't need to know. Don't worry about it.
Did I just show my bank account statement on the screen?
Did you really?
Let's end this.
See you later.
Paramount Podcasts.